It's our school of prayer again. What do? We learn to pray. Not only do we learn to pray, we also pray. And not only do we pray, we also learn to pray. All right? Why is that important? It is because without our words, the Lord cannot do what he wants to do on the earth. I keep on explaining that. Be very careful how you use your words. Be very careful. You watch your tongue when you are speaking, because that is the way by which you release power into the atmosphere. Don't ever forget it. It's by the things that you say all the time, the way you respond to situations. One of the things I learned, okay, in life is to watch my tongue, especially when it comes to my life and the things that depend upon me. No matter how I feel, God has given me that grace. I don't respond according to that feeling. I respond according to what I want to happen. I must never complain. Do you understand my point? I must never, never. It's a training in righteousness. It's a training in righteousness. Why? Because it's by the words that we speak that will release the power of God into the earth. And through that, we allow God to do what he wants to do. And that is why it's very important that we learn how to pray. All right? That just reminds us of what we are doing. Let's start today from the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Everybody declare it loudly. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. That's not impressing me enough. Not loud enough. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
Thank you. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
And as a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. All right, Psalm 16, let's read that one again. It said, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. Remember what we've been talking about on our teachings on Saturdays is about the increase of God's kingdom. And I want us to take the things that we have been learning and then we'll convert them to words, because that's how we bring those things into reality in our lives. I've been trying to explain. So that this is a scripture we have been reading. So let's just go back to it. In verse 2, it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, David said, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. That is, they are my heroes. I like the way New Living Translation says that in verse 3. It said, the godly ones in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. That's New Living Translation. Back to the one I'm reading, New American Standard. In verse 4, it says, the sorrows of those who have battered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. He said, you support my lot. The lions, he says, have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul, all right, to Sheol or to the grave. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. That's Psalm 16. Now, let me say something quickly about, just like I was saying earlier, about the Word of God. The way by which you control your actions is by what you say. I can't say that enough. One of the things, I was listening to one man the other day, and he talked about the reading of Scripture. Paul said, give attention to reading. Well, he was writing to Timothy. Now, when he said, give attention to reading, the impression most of us have is that make sure you read your Bible. Okay? Now, actually, that was not what Paul said. What Paul said is that make sure you read it out loud like this. You get my point? Make it a matter of habit to make sure the Scriptures are read out, all right, for people to hear publicly. That's what Paul was writing to Timothy. I want to bring out something from that, because this is our school of prayer. We are teaching on how to pray to help us again concerning what we make habits of, okay? We have been talking about the issue of advancing the kingdom of God through, first of all, we'll go to another aspect of it later, maybe next Saturday. But the one we are up to now is talking about our own personal practice of righteousness and our own maintaining our salt, all right, our saltness, our savour as salt of the earth. We've been talking about that. Now, I'm going to emphasize the issue of, just briefly now, before I go into details about this, I want to bring out the habits for Christians. One of the habits you must create, which helps you, it guides you. What you do in life is directed by what you two things. One, how you think, and then how you talk. Now, I said something last time when I was teaching about this, that how you talk has one advantage. It is something you can easily control, relatively. Even if you feel, you know, it's very common with Christians. If somebody is not feeling well, say, how are you? He says, I am strong. You understand my point? Okay, I'm strong. Run now. He cannot run. Are you getting my point? Now, that's not supposed to be a criticism. I'm trying to bring out an issue. You find that it's actually easy, all right, to redirect your words. It's easier than your actions. You can actually find it easier to control your words than to control your thoughts. Do you follow my point? Yes, words are actually easier. And my own understanding of it is that that's why, the reason why it's like that God gave it to us, because that is the thing we use to drive the rest of our system. And when we're talking about the habit of prayer as Christians, that's one thing we must bear in mind. The habit of praying is something we create. We learn how to speak the right words at all times. At all times. That's why Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. The literal, if you read Amplified Bible, it says, ask and keep on asking. It's a continual process, all right? It's something you make a habit of. Seek and you keep on seeking. I'm going to emphasize to us that the point about prayer is that it's a habit that we form. It's a habit that we form. That is why, all right, God gave us songs to be able to sing. Things that, let me give you an example this morning. For certain reasons, look, my head was just, what can I use to describe it? I was not settled. I didn't sleep well. Nothing was worrying me. Because I have so many things to do. Do you follow? I just decided to do them last night. And if you follow us, for example, you'll see you must have reviewed some of my meals at one odd hour yesterday. Because I was awake. After that one, I went to do something else. So by the time I woke up this morning, it was late. But then I had to go and give a lecture. By the time I woke up late, but I had to hurry out of the house. By the time I was leaving there, my head was literally aching. And the road was pulsating. You understand my point? I just looked for one of these Chris Del Vance tracks and put it in there. And I started singing along, you know. The Lord is my light and my life and the light of my life. I shall not be afraid. I use that thing to cool off the tension. I was singing. I'm making an issue here. That's why, as believers, everything we say, we watch, even when it comes to song, all right? That's why you have no business listening to the bunch. Who cares who's the bunch? Me? I am not. Yes, I'm serious. You know, words, okay, are very powerful. I'm going to emphasize the fact that we make prayer a habit, including in the kind of songs that we sing. Now, back to what I'm saying. So, you see, that's why God gave us the book of Psalms as a book of songs. This was their book of songs. So, things like this are supposed to be a continual recitation from the mouths of Christians, because they control how you think. It starts with your words, but then they actually start controlling how you think, and the most important, they control how you act. Words are very powerful. Prayer is not just, you know, I've been saying that. Prayer is not just about making requests of God, but prayer is also just controlling your system by applying the word of God continually. Now, back to these Psalms that we're reading here. I just struck me that it's a very beautiful thing to use to control your actions in these days in which, well, it's not just as if it's just that now I notice it. It's always been like that. Human beings are so materialistic, they are covetous, they are ambitious, okay? But you see what David is saying here? He's declaring something. He said, for example, preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Now, you are beginning to talk. I say, that's you are saying now, to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. If you see that in Lynn Levy's translation, read it earlier. He said, the godly ones in the land are my true heroes. You know what you're trying to say here? When you utter words like that, man, now follow what I want to explain here. When you utter words like that, you know what you are doing? You are removing the richest men on the earth from the front of your eyes. You are saying the godly ones are my true heroes. That's something Christians must learn. To make people who practice righteousness their heroes. There was something I taught when I was in Ondo. You know, I was not around on Saturday. We traveled to go and do a program there where I was a guest minister. One of the things I taught to people there that, you see, one thing came to Christianity some time ago, and that's the one in which there was a mixture between the teaching of the Word of God and business principles. You've noticed it. I don't know whether you noticed that time. So you enter into a church, into a bookshop. Almost every Christian bookshop you know around, they always have a section on business methods. And those ones are populated with all kinds of human beings. Once you write on business, many of the people that Christians quote are not Christians. You know that. Anthony Robbins is not a Christian. One of these very famous ones is a Mormon or is a Christian scientist. I've forgotten which one of them now. All right? Now, but the problem I'm trying to make is that, so in that process, you know what we did? We put rich men in front of us. For example, we are doing business training. We analyze the life of Dangote. We analyze the life of Michael Dell. I'm not saying they are bad people. I refer to certain issues about them once in a while. Dangote is my best example. When I want to tell you, you don't have to go to America if money is your problem. People can stay in Nigeria and become the richest men in the earth. Or, you know, you understand my point. I refer to that. But we take people like that and put in front. We take Donald Trump and becomes the analysis. I want to say it's a mistake that Christians made. It's a terrible mistake. Do you know why? Because they are not the godly ones on the earth, yet we have made them our heroes. I think Christians should learn to put in front of them Mother Teresa. You know Mother Teresa? You remember her? Those are the kind of heroes that Christians should have. Very crucial. Put people like that in front of you. If you go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I describe these things in there. The kind of heroes you have. But I'm not discussing that now. What I want to bring out is this. No matter how you feel, if you open your mouth and declare, as for the godly people in the land, is that the godly people in the land are my true heroes, I take pleasure in them. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you declare it like that, you know what happens? After a while, your body starts responding only to people who are godly. And this is the way you preserve that your saltness we are talking about. I'm thinking something here as part of our method of praying. We take scriptures like this and make it a song. Now, I don't mean you have to create a song out of it, but put it in your lips all the time. We're going to do it again today. It's the godly people on this earth, they are the ones that have pleasure in. Then he now explained to himself. He said, the sorrows of those who have battered for another God will be multiplied. Listen, if you speak that kind of word to yourself every day, then you realize that if you do pursue other gods, your sorrows will be multiplied. Now, these are the ways by which you control your own behavior. One of the diversions that the devil has given us in life, I think, is political analysis. What is Buhari up to? Why did he go to America? Did they give him anything? You sit down every day and analyze. Listen to me. Every word you speak is affecting you. I hope you get my point. If it's not a positive word, it's a negative one. People sit down every day. In fact, the worst of them is analysis of football. I thank God I don't watch football. I worship the Lord that I don't watch football. Not because football in itself is evil, but it has fed me hours and hours and hours of discussion because I don't know anything. When boys are talking, I don't know book. You get my point? When people are getting into those arguments, there's nothing. I have no idea. When I wanted to give examples the other day, I think it was when Ondo, I had to ask, tell me the name of one man that plays in Manchester United. I don't know one. Some of you are looking at, are you all right? Believe me, I'm fine. I'm not kidding. I don't know one. He had to tell me Rooney. Did he lie? Is it true, Sabi? Because I quoted it too. On the stage, I said, tell me one person. If I write that, do I know anybody that plays? Where does Ronaldo play? All of you know. The Lord is good. Now, I'm not saying football is evil. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. Because I don't know, I can't get involved in any discussion. I've seen men argue, literally, they are there for 1 hour, almost punching themselves, explaining why that goal was right, was not right. I thank the Lord, I don't know. It saves me time because those things, they don't edify, they don't, what's the opposite of edify? They just waste time. And I'm so happy the good Lord delivered me from it. I have no idea. Maybe you should follow me. I'm a follower of Christ. Now, what I'm going to emphasize is that God gave us our mouth, okay, to control our lives. A lot of things we struggle with as habits is because we have not controlled our tongue. We have not controlled how we talk about them. We spend a lot of energy on things that don't edify, things that don't improve our lives. What am I trying to say? This Psalm 16, where I'm reading it on Saturdays, I'm bringing out as a prayer point. We take it and say, the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The godly ones, New Living Translation, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I speak to myself, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. For those who chase after money, troubles multiply. For those who chase after ambition, troubles multiply. For those who chase after worldly pleasure, troubles multiply. I declare that. Then I say in verse 5, which is where I'm actually going. I now declare, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. I declare in verse 6, the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. What that means is that things are going to happen to me by accident that I did not deliberately plan, and they are going to be good things according to the will of God. He said, indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. What was David saying here? That is, if I follow the Lord, he said, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. David was trying to say, I'm looking for a particular scripture now. Where did I find it? Okay, yes. In verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. What am I trying to say? Every time I speak like this, I'm declaring, what I declared in that one is that what happens to me by accident in life, okay, is going to be the will of God. That is, as long as I'm following after righteousness, good is going to come to me in this life. Listen, I declare this scripture every day. You know what happens? As a consequence, nobody will be able to entice me to do evil. You make me a minister in today's Nigeria, I will not even be tempted. Not because I'm strong in myself. No, that's not the point. The point is that I have taken the word of God and put it on my mouth at all times. That one begins to... Now listen, even while I am being tempted to do what is wrong, if I recite these scriptures again and again and again, as a consequence, you know what happens? My life begins to get directed by the Spirit of God into doing what is right. That's what David meant when he says that he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. The problem, I keep on saying, is that Christians don't know, generally speaking, okay, most Christians, they don't know the right prayers to pray. And that is why we have struggles in life a lot. Let me say this to you again. God does not expect that what you consider your problems will be a major prayer point. The Lord doesn't expect that your need for more money will be a major prayer point. Now, you'll say he has started again. I will start again. He does not expect you to get up every morning looking for where you can sow another seed so that you can have more money. The more seed you sow like that, the poorer you are going to get. Trust me. You know, I won't lie to you. That kind of seed. Seed that you are dropping so that you can get back. You won't get anything. Because you have made this money thing a primary thing in your heart. The Lord doesn't expect it. He said clearly, that's how Gentiles behave. Gentiles wake up every day trying to see how they can get. Is a focus of their prayer, is a focus of their sacrifices. They go to junctions trying to solve their problems. The Lord said it clearly. That is how Gentiles behave. That Christians are not supposed to behave like that. How are they supposed to behave? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and what? And what? This is my own explanation of it. The way by which you seek the kingdom of God is not by trying primarily to say, let's organize a political party so we can put a Christian in office. No. We organize our spiritual party, are you getting my point? To teach every Christian righteousness. You hear what I said? What we do is to organize our spiritual, in quote now, party, to teach every Christian righteousness. And when we do that, they will be promoted into the right places in life. I'm going somewhere. What God expects of us is not that I wake up every day and need a better job. He said, I know you need these things already. That's what I want you to bear in mind. He said, I know you need these things already. God doesn't expect us to want to pray. Now, this is my year of promotion, so let me start praying so that I will get promotion this year. God said, I heard you the first time. I am aware that you need to be promoted where you work. He said, what should you be doing? You are asking. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, your prayer point must be on the establishment, one, of righteousness in your life, and two, of righteousness around you. Then when you do that, he said, I will add every other thing to you. Please follow me. This is so crucial that we get it. I said to us before, and I'm saying it again, the extent to which things are not being added is the extent to which we are not seeking the right things. People say, pray more. You have not yet prayed. One man said something once. You are going to laugh when I tell you. He said one day he reasoned that he has tithed and tithed and tithed. He hasn't seen the results. He has given offering and given offering. That something he has not yet broken. Then he began to pray. And the Lord now said, there's one key that's missing. What is that key? That he's not servicing his prophet. And he was talking and talking that what you now need to do so that your tithes and your offering can produce is so that you start servicing your prophet. Sorry, how do you service a prophet? Thank you. You sow more seed. Now, if you notice something, this is a mistake. The tithe, from what he has said, the offerings, they are all so that he can see a breakthrough in his life. He hasn't seen it. He now decided that it's because he has not servicing what? His prophet. He didn't realize that Jesus said the reason. Jesus said the problem is that you are not seeking the right things. That's what the Lord said. He said, because if you were seeking the right things, every other thing would have been added to you. What should the man have done? Why are things not being added to me? He not said, no, I need to pray more about those things. He said, no, there must be something that I am not seeking correctly, which is causing an obstruction to my life. I say it all the time. I'm a man. I'm looking for a wife, as an example. If I asked the Lord about it last year, God said, I heard you. Should I ask you again? No, I heard you the first time. The only thing I expect you now to do towards that, prepare to be a good husband. That's the only any other thing more than that. You are disturbing the flow of the anointing. Let me put it like that. He said, go and learn patience. Do you want a good wife or a bad wife? Say a good wife. Do you think I, God, will give a good wife to a bad man? And you between me and you, you know you are bad. Say, Lord, what do I do? Then I am going to settle down and become good. Do you follow my point? Every office in life has a divine assignment. The other day I was teaching my son, because he's a young boy. He's about to become a teenager. But he's big. When you see him, you think he's already a teenager. You know him. So one day it was when we were going to Ondo. My schedule was interesting. What I mean is that I didn't know my wife would be around. When my wife was planning her trip, I didn't check my own calendar. So it turned out that the week she traveled was the week we were supposed to go to Ondo. And normally I like somebody being in the house, either her or me. We have an adult with us anyway, but anyway, let's make a long story short. For a day or two, now that my wife and I will be around with the kids, just other people in the house. So I was telling my son that, listen, I'm putting you in charge of your younger ones. And he has to look after all the younger ones, four of them. So I began to explain to him how to keep peace and order. Because they will all sit together to maybe watch the same television. And you know the way children are. I want to watch this one. The boys generally, my daughter likes to watch something different from what the boys want to watch. Then the smaller boys would rather watch something, you know, different from what the older boys want to watch. And the older guy, I can't even be the oldest now. He won't understand why people are watching this senseless thing. Let him watch something that has more action and has more brain in it. Let's make a long story short. Now, I'm not telling him, be in charge of everybody while I'm gone. So you know what's going to happen if you do that kind of thing? Everybody's going to watch what he wants to watch. it's just human nature. If at that day, Yinka was with me, I was laughing. I said, let me explain to you why you have authority. I said, you are not going to watch what you want. You are going to make sure what is right is what is done. I said, you are going to learn to share out things equitably. If your brother wants this, your sister wants this, you will decide who should get it based on who has gotten the other one. I said, you use equity. I taught him, I explained to him, I said, that is why I'm giving you this power and this authority, to use it to do righteousness and justice. You are getting my point? Yinka was laughing that day. I explained to the young boy very well, so I'm not giving you the right to go and enjoy. I'm giving you the work to put order, so you have to learn how to share things properly. Now, you know why I tell the story? That many of the things we're aspiring to in life, the world has given us a wrong idea of what God made it for. And we are praying without realizing it according to worldly ideas of the purpose of it. And the Lord, that is why he's not been able. That's the word. He has not been able to release those things into our lives. And that's why he said, go and seek first his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Go and understand why I want to make Abraham rich. Do you get my point? Go and understand why I want to give Abraham a family. Like he said concerning Abraham, I have chosen him so that he will command his household, his children and his household after him, how to do righteousness and justice. So Abraham, your household will not grow until you learn righteousness and justice. So the extent of the growth of the household of Abraham is the extent to which Abraham learns righteousness and justice. So that I mean by wrong prayer points. But people often don't do like that. They say, now back to what I was saying. Now, you know, I told that one of my colleagues told me something. Can you remember? Yes. I'm back to it now. You know what we often do? See, every enemy that doesn't want me to increase, this year, they will die by fire. All the people that are ganging up against my progress, listen to me. There is nobody that can effectively gang up against your progress. How many times do I have to say this? There is nobody that can effectively gang up against your progress. The only person that gangs up effectively against your progress is you. Many times in manners that you don't understand. That, my friend, that was what he said. Let me now tell you what he said. He said, there's a culture that the Jews had that the church has lost. I was impressed by the way he put it. He said, those days, if Israel... Okay, let me put it like this. The culture that Israel had, I don't want to just say the Jews. You know Jews is just for Judah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, Israel is a bigger nation, okay? So we're talking about Israel. He said, if Israel went to war and they lost in battle, they never worried about the strength of their enemies. They asked themselves, what happened? Joshua will go and fall down before God. Yeah. What happened? Lord, where were you? How could you let this happen to us? It didn't cross their minds. That's because their enemies were strong. Are you getting my point? If Israel had a problem, Moses was concerned about what happened. Why should this kind of thing happen? It doesn't cross their mind that, we are fighting those who are bigger than us. Let's begin to pray. All the altars that are raised up against us. What do you call it? Altar for altar. Let me say it to you again, Christians. That is very common in Christianity of today. Please run away from it. It's a joke. I keep on saying this thing. I'm sure those of you who have heard me here, you have heard it enough, but you are tired of hearing me. But you will continue to hear. You know why? Because you are going to live here, you are going to go home. I have to continue to say this until you are established in them. So start raising altars. It doesn't cross... Look, that's what my colleague told me, that we're just telling stories about things in the country, in the body of Christ. He said, for Israel, it wasn't like that. If anything went wrong, Israel fell on his knees. And he would say, God, what happened? It wasn't that, I thought they are strong. No, it's what did we do? And God would say, come. I told you people, when you go there, don't take anything. One of you took something. They say, who? They begin to check, they find Achan. Then they open the tent of Achan, they find the things that he stole. The problem was never the enemies. It wasn't the people of Ai that was the problem. It was Achan that took what he was not supposed to take from. Was it Jericho? They will seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And every other victory after that will now be added to them. Do you get my point? That's why when I was hearing Islamic agenda, it used to irritate me. I remember when the Emir of Kano, when he was the CBN governor, when he was going to license Islamic banks, the way Christians reacted, I was just thoroughly irritated. You behave like victims. You understand when you behave like that? Like they want to oppress us. We inferior people. Funny enough, somebody said that it was not even the man that started the idea of Islamic banking. That issue started under the former governor before him. That was Charles Soludo. And just for the record, I couldn't see what the problem was. They are not saying First Bank should become an Islamic bank. They said we want a license to operate a banking system according to our religious beliefs. I couldn't get why people were talking. One day I was calling some people, they said, it's attitudes like this that make Christians go down. That my attitude, my own attitude. That I'm complacent. I said, you want me to go and be raising placard against, if you two need a Christian bank, go and apply for a license. And you know, sometimes Christians behave in such a manner that they just make yourself look like, I don't want to, which word do I use? I told God I won't be using bad words, apart from bad things. So my Christians behave as if they don't think. You know what happened that time? It's just like the Muslims wanted land to build a mosque, and you say no. This is why Nigeria is going to become Islamic. That's exactly what we're doing. And you turn yourself, just make enemies for yourself unnecessarily. Now, the point, I'm trying to get something out here. I said that time that's not the problem. The people talk about the Islamic agenda. The only agenda Islam has is to replace Christianity that has lost its savour. It was given to it by God. I don't know what I heard I said. I'm not saying that they are thinking about it, but the only power any religion has against Christianity is when Christianity is not true Christianity. David Paulson said that the Lord revealed to him that UK is going to become an Islamic country. He said this long ago, that United Kingdom is going to become an Islamic. He has preached messages, left them behind for how true Christians should handle their lives under persecution. That United Kingdom is going to be become a Muslim nation, just like Turkey. I wasn't what I said it to. David Paulson, the man is about, is 80-something now. He prayed this about 10 years ago, that one day the Spirit of God came heavily upon him, and that revelation came to him, and he went and shared with some other people, and they said, you are very correct, and he began to preach it. And he went around teaching UK Christians that this is your land, God has given it over to Islam. Why? He said that is the only way Christianity there will become purified. That they have become, that is, what was he trying to explain? The salt had lost its savor. They were amongst the first countries in this world to legalize all kinds of marriages. It's an offense. Many men have been arrested for reading Romans chapter 1, a portion of the Bible, out loud. Why? Because it offends the homosexual community. Because Romans chapter 1 talked about God's attitude towards those things. So you can't read it. People have been put in prison for preaching on the... And you know, people won't know. Little by little, it starts. This is in the United Kingdom. And David Paulson said that it is God that is pouring forth judgment upon the land and said the punishment for the backsliding of the saints is I will make them serve other gods under pressure. Because if you don't serve the Lord thy God with a joyful heart, you will serve their enemies with a painful heart. It's God's commandment. My message about it is not, I'm not talking about Islamic advancement, but is that Christians fight wrong fights. My colleague told me that said, no, the way God taught Israel, that in fact, he said something you've heard me say here many times, that Israel was not consciously aware of who the devil was. They were just aware that if we suffered, we have sinned against our God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm talking about Christians directing their prayers appropriately. Our prayers as believers. Listen, I'm trying to talk about this issue of the kingdom of God again. And how we are supposed to ensure that the kingdom is established in our hearts. And I said that we do that by seeking after his righteousness. That's what I'm going to emphasize. By seeking after his righteousness. By seeking after his righteousness. That people focus on their needs. God said, no, stop focusing on your needs. Don't worry about your needs. I know the things that you need. What do you now do? Focus on my righteousness. Let me give one practical thing. If the Lord stirs up, I want to use the expression, if the Lord stirs up a desire for something else in your life, maybe promotion, increase in where you work, something. Don't go and say, God, I must be promoted. No. Go and say, God, what is the job of those who occupy that seat? Did you hear what I said? What did you ordain for them to do? Because there is something that God ordained for them to do. If you are looking at, this is how the world looks at it. You know, when you are the chief medical director, you have a brand new Prado from the federal government. You move to a new apartment. You have security guards. Anytime you go to Abuja for a meeting, you are paid out of station allowance and you calculate it. When you finish like that, all other things shall be removed from you. Did you hear what I said? Everything will be, the little promotion you thought you had, God will collect it back. Said, my son knows nothing. This is my girl, she does not know anything. So if you are designing that position as a believer, this is your prayer point. Lord, people on that post, what are they supposed to do? God now begins to give you the law, the way he gave to Israel. A king is not supposed to multiply horses to himself. So you should desire to continue to use this your car, even when you become the chief medical director. That should be your desire. If you look at that Prado again, are you getting my point? Now, I'll still get back to what, these are Psalm 16, because we're going to read it together again. Then you look around and say, things are not working well. How can I use my office to ensure they work well? Where are the people there currently not doing it right according to divine ordinance? It is that divine order, the plan, the desire of God for a man who occupies that position that you will seek day and night. Never pray for that office for yourself. No. I keep on saying, David did not ever for one day. We are not aware of it, that he did like that. We can assume he never did. Say, God, one day I want to be king in Israel. Why would he say so? Israel didn't have a king until that time. They were not used to kings. You know, God rejected Saul shortly after he was made king. So David wasn't praying about it. What God saw in the heart of David was a man who will do all my desires. So the question is, Lord, for this position that my heart is reaching out for, what is your desire? You know what God needs in this generation? Christians who love poverty the way poverty is, as far as God is concerned. Yes. What do I mean by that? Please get me clear. I'm not saying people who want to die of hunger. That's not what I mean. That is, they want to take pride in the fact that I occupied a high-level government position for 4 years. And when I came out, I returned to the car I was driving beforehand. They are looking forward to being able to brag on it. I don't know what I heard what I said. Listen, without this in there, we are not going anywhere. That is, you know what he said in that Psalm 16? He said, the godly ones, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I thought the story the other day that I saw Olukoye Ransom-Kuti. After he was Minister of Health under Babangida for about around 9 years. I can't remember the exact length because it was one minister that came with Babangida and left Babangida. So how long was Babangida in office? 8 years. Let me make a long story short. That's not the gist. The gist was that he was appointed minister as soon as Babangida came into power. And he left when Babangida left power. And after he had left with Babangida, one day I went to Surulere and I saw him driving himself in an old Golf. I went to my friend's house in Samshonibare. He drove past me in a Golf. You know what a Golf is? Golf. An old one. He drove and he was driving himself. This man had been minister for 8 years. If he's a typical Nigerian, he would drive past me in a Bentley. And he won't drive. They will be driving him past me in a Bentley. This man drove past me in a regular Golf. That Golf was at least 8 years old. That I'll show off. And he was minister for 8 years. David said, the godly people in the land They are my heroes. The problem we have is that we have made heroes of criminals. A man enters into office, he buys half of Enugu. He's in power for just 6 years. By that time, he's a billionaire. He's opening businesses everywhere. And we start inviting him to come and do Thanksgiving in church. The ungodly ones in the land, they have become the heroes of Christians. That is what the problem has been. And what am I teaching to believers in this season? Please, this is our school of prayer. It's a matter of prayer. Like I was saying earlier, you take this scripture and declare it over your life. So that next time you see a man who enters office, next time buys a brand new car, you are angry with him. He's your friend, don't come here again. You tell him, no, I am not happy with you. Where are you getting this money from? You are corrupt too. You say, you know, you say the way it is. Are you also a thief? It gets to a point, your body starts reacting the way people like Tunde Bakare start, you know, the way Tunde Bakare gets angry. I'm not preaching for the current head of state, General Buhari, all right? I'm not preaching for him. He didn't send me. He doesn't know me. I'm not preaching for him, but one thing that makes me glad is that the testimonies I've been hearing, the man actually hates corruption. It's not a joke. He actually hates it. For whatever reason, he's angry. And when you see the depth of stealing that we're doing in this country, it has never been this bad. I hope you know. You know, say the refineries didn't work for a long time. You know that. You know why they were not working? I was wondering why too. Simply so that they could keep on importing fuel. That's all. But Buhari has been in office for how many weeks? As I yesterday, this day reported that the refinery were now being test run for full operation. Warri and Port Harcourt. What did he do in the few weeks? Nothing. Every man just maintained. No, did they repair the refineries? You couldn't have done that. That means these repair refineries could have worked. These refineries could have worked. Adam Poshemole, I don't know whether I said the truth or not. You know, he joined the president to go to... You know, his mouth is very loud also. He said that the Americans told him that one Nigerian minister cornered how he did it, $6 billion. Let me tell you the truth. We could not have survived economically if Jonathan had returned into office for the next 4 years. I called my wife, she's not around. I said, do you realize that, okay, let me tell you something. There's pressure on the dollar, on the naira. 1/3 of all the dollars that Nigeria spent is spent importing refined products. That if we spend $300 million, $100 million is used to import refined products. And they said, Warri and Port Harcourt refinery can produce half of our needs. Which means, somebody said that the only thing they are doing right now is like you repair a car, you have to test run it before you start traveling with it. That's what they are doing now. In how many days? Which shows that this thing could have worked last year. But they said they refused to let it work simply because we had to continue milking money from importation. Yet the same people will come to church and we Christians are thanking God. Pastors will do special programs and invite the madmen to come and donate money. And you think your prayers will work. My own preaching, you know me from time, I've never been popular with normal pastors. If you are my friend as a pastor, you are not a normal person. All my friends, all the pastors that like me and invite me, they know the kind of, and they like it. The people that say normal things, they don't like me. They don't like me. I've heard more than one go and report that I'm causing them problems in their churches. I'm not kidding. One day somebody was telling another person, this is our problem. Let's invite Pastor Banky. He said, who, Banky? It's not that one that's causing problems in the Enugu. I'm not joking. God is my witness. What I've told you. He said, which bank? Is it not that one that's causing problem in Enugu? Look, what I say, I know it's not popular, I don't care. But I'll tell the truth. In fact, I now love Tunde Bakare more than before. I'm going to start going to his church. I've always loved him, you know, I just used to get angry when he wanted to do politics. I just say, like VP, in Jesus' name, you will not win. And he's the reason why Buhari didn't win on time. Everybody had known if we have touched that man of God. God said, no, 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 no. This prophetic anointing, don't touch it. Now, what I'm trying to say is that this is actually what we need. We that are praying for change in our families, in our lives, in our country. God says, listen, you have to seek first his righteousness. You have to seek it. That's why I said that Christians who love, in quotes now, poverty. And I don't mean that, nobody wants to be suffering. But I'm not going to say that some things are more important. Righteousness is more important than comfort. Those are the people that will carry the truth of God forward. Those are the people that will change the nation. People who say that, is it to trek? I will trek. No, they don't enter car into heaven. The only country where I know they enter car into heaven is in Ghana. That's a joke. Oh. They have a culture in Ghana. They bury you inside your trade. If you're a driver, the coffin will be made like a car. You put it inside and bury it like that. If you're a cook, they bury you inside a pot. you may be laughing, but I'm not joking. They will make a nice big pot. That will be your casket. They wrap it nicely and put it inside. I'm sure it's a culture in Ghana. They will make beautiful vehicles. When you say a casket, you think it's a real bus. And it's a casket. You say, why are you burying this man? And I said, the man used to drive a lot. They put him inside and bury the casket. That is the only country I've seen people drive to heaven. All right? Of course, that's a joke. You can go and go. What I told you is a radio. It's a trade there. Craftsmanship for caskets. It's a special trade. They design caskets. They can design a whole house like now. An architect dies. They will build a very nice house and put him in the sitting room and bury the house. And if a pastor dies, they will build a church. The Lord is good. Now, what am I going to explain? There's nothing we are carrying to heaven. Nothing. We have to have that attitude. Jesus said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. Righteousness is that food. Labor for it. That is your prayer point. Your prayer point is not what I will eat, what I will drink. How will I be rich also? No, God says he wants Christians who love righteousness more than comfort. Who love righteousness more than promotion. Who love righteousness more than any other thing. So that if they want to get into a particular phase in life, they are going to a new office in their lives, they are concerned about what is the righteousness I will execute in that place. And how do they get themselves, that's what I was talking about, into that realm of operation? How do they get themselves into that pattern of behavior? It is simple. They take the word of God and use it to control their bodies. They use the word of God, the songs, let me put it like that. They take the songs of God like this and sing it until their whole system responds. They tell themselves, no, only the godly people in the land will be my heroes. Only the godly people in the land will be my heroes. I will not make a hero of anybody for what he has achieved materially, outwardly, as success. No, it's only the godly people in the land that will be my heroes. That's what God is looking for. Because if I find that, I do great things. I do great things. So the people take the scripture like this, like we are doing right now. They stand on their feet. They bring out their Bibles. And take a psalm like Psalm 16. And we are going to read everything together. Let me read. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2. And they begin to read like this. Preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. Verse 2. You are my God. I have no good besides you. Now, I want to read this one in two translations. First, the New American Standard that I'm reading. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Then it says in this New Living Translation, say, the godly ones in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Repeat that one after me. The godly ones in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I'm going to read it again. I want you to just repeat what New Living Translation is saying. The godly ones in the land are my true heroes. All right? Say it.
The godly ones in the land are my true heroes.
I take pleasure in them.
I take pleasure in them.
One more time. The godly ones in the land are my true heroes.
The godly ones in the land are my true heroes.
I take pleasure in them.
I take pleasure in them.
Repeat this one also. Say, I know. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. Say it again. Troubles multiply for those who chase after gods.
For that reason,
I will not chase after other gods.
I will not chase after other gods.
Now let's continue reading. Now, so I'll read that one, then you read the next line. The sorrows of those who have battled for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Read verse 5.
Lord is my
inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. Let's read that again, verse 5. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. So you support my lot. Let's take it one more time. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance. David now said in verse 6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. He said, indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Let's repeat that verse 6.
The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places.
Verse 7, he said, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Read verse 8.
I have set the Lord continually before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken.
Verse 9 says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Verse 10,
you will not abandon my soul to show, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay.
I think I should pass a comment on this number 10. Very important. This is a prophetic psalm. It was speaking about the fact that Jesus will not be left in the grave. The body will not undergo decay. But I want you to understand that there's an application to it concerning it in the life of the Christian. Any Christian who says the Lord steadfastly in front of him, in front of her, God is saying, I will not let it happen that your situation will destroy you. That's what he said. That don't try to force yourself out of the situation. You just set the Lord securely in front of you, pursue after righteousness. And I will cause things to happen by chance, by accident to you, that will bring you out of the place of destruction. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
David keeps on saying something. He says that, fear the Lord, you his saints, in chapter 34 of the book of Psalms. For there is no want to those who fear him. There's a reason why David keeps on saying that thing. And that is because one major reason why people don't fear God, they don't pursue after righteousness, they are afraid of want. When people steal money, what do? They start building a house. What do? Could they start a business that they can continue to carry on after they've left office so that they can continue to eat? Hey, a word just came from my mouth now. Watch it, Nigerians. One by one, those businesses will collapse and they'll be sold off for cheap.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes you see all over town, people are building hotels. There was a time it was filling stations. They will steal money, come and build filling stations. I tell people, don't worry, just be working hard. Very soon. If the cost of a filling station plus license plus land plus everything is 100 million, somebody will soon sell you one for 10 million.
Amen.
It will happen.
Amen.
Say amen if you want to.
Amen.
But whether you say it or not, it will happen.
Amen.
Your amen is only saying whether you will be the one to buy it. Are you getting my point? Yes, because the time came, they said, don't worry, by tomorrow, the price of one bushel of meat or whatever, you know what the prophet said, will be like this. That man said, even if the Lord were to open the windows of heaven, can these things happen? Elisha was provoked. And he said to the man, whether you agree or not, it will happen. If Eli don't agree, it will happen. Whether you agree or not, it will happen. It's whether you will eat of it or you will not that we're now discussing. So he looked at the man and said, it will happen. You will see it, but you will not eat of it. And when that man was sent to go and maintain order, people trampled him to death. People will go steal government money, use corrupt practices to gather wealth. What do? They build a house. Putting those houses they are putting down, plus land, plus everything, you're talking 50 million, 40 million naira for one. That's a big deal. You just be laboring hard. With hard earned 10 million, you buy a house somebody built for 70.
Amen.
With a blessed 10 million naira, you will buy a house that somebody built for 70 million.
Amen.
It will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know why I'm saying this? Because the reason why people steal, the reason why people go into all these things is because of fear. But the Bible says here to us clearly, it said, you will not abandon my soul to destruction. It said, you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Are you getting my point? No matter the situation that the child of God is in, no matter how backward or bad he looks, hear you the word of the Lord, God will not allow you to rot there.
Amen.
He will not let it happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You look now from what you are doing, your righteousness you are following. Hey, to own your own house is 20 million. How will I get that kind of money? God said, don't worry. I'll make a criminal build it. People don't know something. This one, I learned this one long ago. I didn't invent it now. Solomon said it. He said, God has given the job of gathering to the sinner that he might give to the one who's pleasing in his sight. We're not saying this because of covetousness. What are we going to do with what? These are realities. This is not a matter of personal desires. Let me prophesy into the air again. Every man who steals subsidy money, closes any Nigerian refineries down so he can continue to import fuel and become rich. See that plane he bought for $15 million? Banky. Yeah, because I may need one day. I will buy it for $1
million. Amen.
One. And I will pay small. I was reading the story of Donald Trump one day. How he bought, you know, the man flies a 727 around. And that 727 or 737. That time when I read his book, Donald Trump is that funny American man who's always looking for attention. You know the man now? Always looking for attention. Fight Obama was not born in America. They start fighting McCain that they captured him. That why is he a hero? After all, you were captured. Meanwhile, he dodged the war. The word that he's abusing McCain of being captured in. Because McCain is called a hero because he was a pilot, I think a naval or Air Force pilot, one of the two. And he was shot down during the war. And he was captured. And he was in prison for like 4 or 5 years before he came out. That same war, Bros Dojo. It now saying the man is there. Anyway, that's not. Anyway, he said something that how did he buy his plane? I think it's 727 or a 737. At that time, he said the plane was supposed to be like $30 million or so. The airplanes are not cheap. They're not cheap things. The one brother, Trevor Dollar wanted to buy was $65 million. Gulfstream. It's a good thing. If you have money, buy one. You'll enjoy it. Trust me. All right? I don't have the kind of money now, but it's not a bad thing. It was not made for the devil and his children. The only thing God made for the devil and his angels is hellfire. Right, if you have purpose and you have money and you are going somewhere private, buy a private jet. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Anyway, so this is expensive. He said when I wanted to, I think it was $30 million. He bought it for $5 million. You know what happened? He saw that the company was going bankrupt. They had gone bankrupt. They were doing restructuring. He said he knows that normally when a company is going down like that, one of the first things they do is to offload their liabilities, things that are costing them money. So he knew they would want to sell that plane. So he called the guy who was managing the company. He said, oh boy, how far? What's going on there? That your plane, I know you want to sell it. How much? Maybe that one asked for $15 million. I said, come on. They talk. I finally paid the guy $5 million, collected it. You will have a greater testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
One day you are going to come up to me and say, good morning, sir. I'll say, what's going on? Who wants this car? He says, sir, God has blessed me so that I can move around me and my family easily. I look at the car, I know the value of my stomach. Oh, so this boy gets $5 million. Enough to give me any offering. I'm thinking of it. And then you just say, sir, you won't believe how much I bought it. I say, really? I will not believe. Just tell me. Say, I paid $750 for this and I'm paying twice. I said, tell me the story. He said, my neighbor was a local government chairman. When they locked him in prison, after 3 months, they finally granted him bail. The only thing that he needed to get out of jail immediately, now he offered me the car. He had used the bait. I told him, you know, I don't have money. He said, please now, give me $1 million for it. I told him, okay. The best I can do is $750. He said, okay, bring it. I said, I even have only $300 now. It's not ungodly. It's when Esau is hungry, you buy his birthright. You didn't even want. He was the one begging. Say, please now, Chris, please, just take it. He said, oh, God, I don't want. Please, I will rot in prison. My soul will be left. That's how people talk about God converting the wealth of the wicked. That's what he does. It doesn't mean you go and do business with wicked men. Two of you be unequally yoked with a criminal. No. His time of judgment is coming. And Solomon said it like that, that God has given him an assignment to gather. He will be laboring, gathering, so that he can give to those who are pleasing in his sight. And if you are pleasing in his sight, give me an amen this evening.
Amen.
One day, the people who have looted, who have looted in this our nation, are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Those people, listen to me, God is going to collect from them and give to you.
Amen.
But there's something I keep on saying. Listen, this is how the Lord behaves. Though. If you love unrighteousness, you won't get it. It's only if you are committed to truth and committed to righteousness. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes,
so like I tell somebody, it doesn't worry me. People are stealing. I don't get worried. Still, you will bring it back. And you are going to bring it back fourfold. And this is my interpretation. The maximum we'll pay you for those things is 25%. That's fourfold inverted. Yeah. When we are collecting it, 25%. And the balance on that 25% we are paying you is between you, EFCC, Nigerian prisons. Yes. It's bail money. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who sat thrived. You know, because can you imagine that we could have been producing fuel? Some people say, no, let's be important so that we will not develop. Singapore will develop. America will develop. All these other countries will develop so that a few people can be rich. God said, no, it is displeasing in my sight. Therefore, I must bring judgment. We have not asked anybody to die. Have we said anybody should die? Just go to a small prison. Don't go and learn righteousness. You may be saved. That's all we are saying. But most importantly, that wealth will not endure in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But for those who love the Lord, there is no want for them. They will not lack.
Amen.
God will cause all grace will abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you are bound to every good work. Those who have stolen, those who are criminals, they will have labored for you effectively in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, one of the reasons why you can, and you know, I don't know about now, but then, you could make international calls. It drops for as low as 10, 20 naira a minute. Now, you know, before when GSM started in Nigeria, local calls was 50 naira a minute. Two, three, 4 years later, we're making international calls for 20 naira a minute. You know, one of the things that cost it, if you don't know those things, you may not be aware. It wasn't a Nigerian thing. It dropped to 15 naira a minute. Why? The time of covetousness in the United States, when .com, that under Bill Clinton or so, when during the .com boom, when the stock market was going through the roof, men were putting all their hearts in material things. Then one day God judged it and the whole thing crumbled. Because the .com thing was booming, men were laying fiber optic cables all over under the ocean. Submarine cables were all over the place. But they were expensive. Then most of those companies collapsed. When the companies collapsed, the companies that picked them up, you know, like the bank opposite us here was sold for 1 naira. You know that? Let me not mention him. This one in front here. Yeah, that's the way it's done because the liabilities are many. So when they weigh the liabilities and the assets, they say, okay, just take it. They were doing charity. I mean, they were begging, who wants a bank? Oh, say, I don't want. It's too toxic. Yeah, that, some banks, that's why they became Keystone & Co. because nobody was willing to take. The same thing happened to those companies. They were run down. They were bankrupt. People were just picking them for less than 10% of their value. So, the fiber optic they laid for $500 million was now worth next to nothing. So, it was now all over the place. Submarine cables all over. They were now begging people, rent small now, rent small now. International costs dropped from over 150 naira a minute till it came down to 15 naira. Why? Because the infrastructure had been laid with the money of covetousness. It's not a new thing. That's how God does. That's how come you make international calls cheap. Those cables were laid by Americans pursuing quick money. Nigerians who pursue government money quick, they will build businesses for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They will build houses for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will build industries for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A man will steal money rapidly, rapidly, rapidly. After stealing 500 million, 2 billion, 5 billion. They don't know what to do with it. Then one day God will come calling. I said, that money, can I have it back? Who do I want to give it to? I have a son in Enugu. I have a daughter in Enugu. I have one in Abuja here. I have one in Lagos. I have one in Abakaliki. In different places. They'll now be begging you with it. Then you now see that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if I was dreaming. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
that's why I said, God will not leave your soul to rot in the grave. Your body will not rot in the grave in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's read verse 11 together. He said, you will... Okay, which, okay, let me read it and you repeat after me. He said, you will show me the way of life. That's New Living Translation. Yeah, New American Standard. Say, you will make known to me the path of life. Why? In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So repeat this after me. You will make me know the path of life.
You will make me know the path of life.
Say, the Lord will make me know the path of life.
The Lord will make me know the path of life.
In his presence is fullness of joy.
In his presence is fullness of joy.
In his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Say it, I will dwell in his presence. And I will dwell in fullness of joy.
I will dwell in his
presence.
And I will have fullness of joy.
In his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And because I am seated with Christ on his right hand, therefore pleasures forevermore they are mine. Say true pleasure. Is, you know, we should know what is real pleasure, you know? Some men marry one wife and be chasing other girls. That's stupid pleasure. That's what the Bible calls the stolen water that will soon fill his stomach with gravel. His mouth with gravel. That's not real pleasure. That's deception. Some people think pleasure is, I went to Dubai. After Dubai, I went to Doha. After Doha, I went to Abu Dhabi. And now I'm just flying in from Switzerland. That's not pleasure. That's stupidity. It shows that later on Saturday, make sure you're around. I want to teach one prophetic message, which Israel must put on the air very, very quickly. Many Christians who are running up and down right now, their problem is that God has denied them satisfaction. You think they are enjoying. God said, no, let him fly everywhere. He will never be happy. Some people who are buying one car after another, it is because God said, this boy will never be happy. Please, make sure you're around on Saturday. Because I woke up one day and I said, let me read. And my mind went to a particular portion of the scriptures. I read from the book of Haggai. And the Holy Spirit gave me understanding. I said, yeah. One major reason why God crashed the Naira is because of the Nigerian Christian, they decrease. Yeah. Said, my house lies in ruins. All of them are building their panel houses. They shout Boko Haram, they never give me a Naira to a church in the north. They use the most expensive phones, buy the most expensive cars, and think God is good. No, their covetousness is disturbing them. Because for that reason, I removed comfort from them. Joy. So the man is traveling all over the world. You don't know. It's because God said he won't be satisfied. He's having less peace than I'm having on my 6-spring bed. We are around on Saturday. Okay? There are many things, men are general, but that's not pleasure. We're talking about pleasures that last forever. That's what you find in righteousness. That's what you find in the Holy Spirit. That is what you find. The only thing that gives that thing to you is the presence of God in your life. People say, is there fire in hell? Listen, let me ask you a question. Which one do you think is worse? Being burned by fire or God withdrawing his presence? Yeah. So what I would query, whether there's hell, I don't even believe there's literal fire in hell. Because, listen, my reason is simple. Literal fire cannot be in hell. Because literal fire needs oxygen. It needs carbon or sulfur or something to burn. So that thing is a figure of what's going on. And I've thought about it. It is the absence of God. When God's spirit is not there and you are in deep darkness, the kind of thing that Jesus will see and shout. You know Jesus? Strong guy. When God left him, he screamed, Father, how far? Ah, now so. I'm serious. If God does not fill your heart and give you satisfaction, just go and hang. There's only one problem. When you're dead, he still won't fill your heart. So don't hang. Just come to me. Let me pray for you. Yeah, really, literally. Listen, true pleasure, real pleasure, is found only in God's presence. don't know why we chase women, because I've married for over 15 years. Oh. Honestly, I don't know. And of course, I understand the issue is that it's only God that can put satisfaction in your heart. That's it. That's why I said, that let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I just sat there, I just started my phone. I said, hey, I'm feeling like, you know, young boy wants to marry, you know. Married for 15 years to the same woman. It's God, honestly. Honestly, it's God. There are people I know. I know some men in my head. They have wife here. Yeah? One girl will come and see them. They go to one hotel. And that, you know, and I feel sorry for them. That, can you see what your problem is? You eat and you're not full. That's it. That's why. They eat, they are not full. People are looking from outside saying, man, that guy, they enjoy. No, the guy, there's over. The guy, there's over. Honestly, the guy, there's over. You know? No, yesterday, Whitney Houston's daughter died. The only child she had. I said, the day that girl joined Hollywood or Nollywood or whatever wood she joined, or singing wood, I'm sure in heaven she regrets it. Church girl, raised in church. Her voice training was given to her by B.B. Winans. These were church people. Then she saw a mortar. You know what they call mortar? Area father. Area boy, Bobby Brown, 4 years younger than her, already had 3 children by 2 women, and she desired the sorrows to be multiplied, those who pursue after other gods. The girl wanted to enjoy life too. See this church thing, how far? Marry Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown taught her to smoke, how to use drugs. By the time she was done, she died of a drug overdose. They still don't know what killed the daughter till now. Because she's been in a coma for months. They found her unconscious inside her own bathtub also, just like the mother. Please, there's nothing anybody is offering you that looks nice, that's better than being in the presence of God. There's nothing. That's why David said, let me be a doorkeeper, it's better. Let me just be in his presence and be a doorkeeper, it is better. When I read it yesterday, I said they just wiped the memory of this girl off, come out. And that she was dying, she was broke. She couldn't even afford to come for that thing. Her former manager was underpaid. She was still on drugs. David Paulson said, there are many pleasures in this life. In fact, he will tell you, anyway, let me, and there's many of these people create themselves over. Alcohol, sex, all of them. He said there are pleasures that God gives. He said, but there is no pleasure. There's no desire of the heart of man that he can maintain except God is there to control it. That every desire kills if God is not present. That's David Paulson. He said it becomes a lust. It becomes something that drives you. Instead of you using it, it starts driving the fellow up and down. That if God gives you something to enjoy, make sure you stay with him. Because once you go away from him, the thing starts controlling you. I saw a joke the other day, I mean, you may have seen it, about smartphone. That most people think that their smartphone is their servant. Check my email for me. Let me do this one. He said, Laila, if you look at it really, the smartphone is controlling you. The smartphone will say, I need charge. Charge me. I need Wi-Fi. So you see people go to, please, any Wi-Fi here? That's just life. If God gives something, you are not staying with him, the thing that's supposed to be a blessing to you becomes your slave driver. Become a slave to pleasure. That's what I'm talking about. Only in the right hand of God do you have pleasure that lasts. Only in God's right hand. Only in God's right hand. He said, you will make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand there are pleasures forever. Let's begin to give him thanks this evening. Just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for pleasures evermore. Say, Lord, thank you for truth. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for pleasures evermore. Thank you for truth. Thank you for true freedom. Say, Lord, thank you for pleasures evermore. in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. Father, we give you thanks. For your people, Lord, I declare goodness and mercy will follow everyone all the days of their lives, and they will dwell on your right hand forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will convert the wealth of the wicked into your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is a matter of fact, is going to happen to somebody listening to me this evening. You know, things that you will have labored for 10 years, but you followed after righteousness, and it looked like you were not making progress. Somebody, a literal thief, stealing, harassing people, acquiring material things, God said, I have commissioned him to work for you. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will dispossess the wicked and bless the righteous.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness.